Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're in the midst of a study of the gospel coming to Lystra, looking at a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of July the 19th, 1925 by E.A. Elam. If you want to get your Bibles and follow us as we go through this lesson, you will find the text we're looking at is Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 20. Now, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the Sunday school lesson we're looking at today was written for the Sunday schools of July the 19th, 1925, by E.A. Elam. Now let's get into these Sunday school notes. Here we read, "As at Antioch, all who would believe in Jesus did so. And also the Jews who were disobedient persecuted the apostles, stirring up souls of the Gentiles against the apostles, because in that Gentile city these Jews needed the cooperation of the Gentiles in order to accomplish their wicked purpose. This opposition made it necessary for the apostles to tarry there a long time. How long, we don't know." In 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9, Paul says that the adversaries made it necessary for him to remain at Ephesus. As usual, the opposition made them bolder in speaking the truth, and God bore witness unto the world the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The people, however, were divided, part of them holding with the Jews, part of them holding with the apostles. And so Paul comes to Lystra. An attempt was made, led by the Jewish rulers, to treat the apostles shamefully and to stone them. But when they became aware of it, they fled into the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the region round about. And there they preached the gospel, Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Persecution has always spread the gospel. The intention was to drive Paul and Barnabas away or to kill them. The attack was not made because they had escaped beforehand. Notice how the American Standard Version uses disobedience as the opposite of faith. And speaking of those who believed and of those who were disobedient, faith that does not obey is dead. Now let's look at our text. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. "And at Lystra there sat a certain man, impotent in his feet and crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speaking, who, fastening his eyes upon him, seeing that he had faith, made him whole, and said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet.' And he leaped up and walked. And the multitude saw what Paul had done. They lifted up their voice, saying in the speaks of Lycaonia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.'" See, there was no synagogue in Lystra. Paul must have addressed his audience in the streets, or an open square, or a place of public resort. Mention is made of the healing of this crippled man as an introduction to the facts which follow. This was no more wonderful than the same use of signs and wonders which God did by the hand of Paul and Barnabas in Iconium. Acts 14 and verse 3. This is a similar case in some respects to the one in Acts 13, 1 through 12. That's when Peter healed the man that was lame from his birth at the beautiful gate. Doubtless, the citizens were well acquainted with this man. We did not know his age, but he had been crippled from birth. He heard Paul speaking. His faith was produced by hearing the word of God. By looking intently at him, Paul discovered that the crippled man had faith to be healed. He believed that Paul could make him whole. He showed his faith by his action. For when Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," he leaped up and walked. He heard, believed, and obeyed. When one has faith to obey, God gives the strength and blessing in obedience. This man was not healed in soul because his body was made whole, but it may have led to his salvation. Paul spoke with a loud voice to attract the attention of the people, that all might see that God performed this miracle through him, and therefore he confirmed the gospel which he preached. But the heathen conception of what Paul and Barnabas was done was wrong and had to be corrected. Let's read Acts chapter 14, verses 11 through 14. Here we read, "And when the multitude saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speaks of Lycaonia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Jupiter, whose temple was before the city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they rent their garments, and sprang forth among the multitude, crying out." And we'll see what they said. You see, these heathens believed that the gods had come down and manifested themselves in human form. Therefore, when they saw this wonderful cure, they concluded that the gods had come among them in the likeness of men. They said this in the language of Lycaonia, their native tongue. The apostles doubtless spoke Greek, which was used throughout the East. They called Barnabas Jupiter. Jupiter was the chief of the gods. There was a temple at Lystra dedicated to his worship. The heathens had gods and goddesses for almost everything. Barnabas was older and possibly larger than Paul, hence they called him Jupiter. Mercurius, the Greek Hermes, was the son of Jupiter and Maia, and the interpreter of the gods, the god of eloquence and commerce. Hence they called Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. At the suggestion that the gods were among them, the priest of Jupiter at once proceeded to offer sacrifices to them in the temple of Jupiter, which was before the city. The oxen were for the sacrifices, and were adorned with garlands before they were offered. The apostles, Barnabas and Paul. Here is in verse 4, Barnabas is called an apostle. Apostle means one sent. Barnabas was an apostolic missionary sent out with Paul by the Holy Spirit. Paul was an apostle, doubtless in a higher sense. Others were called messengers or apostles of the churches, 2 Corinthians 8. In verse 23, here Barnabas is mentioned before Paul, since Barnabas became the leader because of the position which the heathen assigned to him as Jupiter. But Paul was the chief one in this event and in this manner. When Paul and Barnabas heard what was about to be done, they rent their garments as a sign of grief and horror at what the people were about to do. This was done under any great agitation. This is the last time that this custom is mentioned in the Bible. They sprang forth among the multitude that all might see that they were only men. And this is what they said. Acts chapter 14, 15 through 18. They said, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and bring you good tidings that you should turn from these vain things to serve a living God, who made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, who in the generation gone by suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, and yet he hath not left them without witness, in that he did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings he scarce retained they, the multitudes, from doing sacrifice unto them. "Sirs," he said, "why do you such things? We're men of like passions with you. Paul and Barnabas were not objects of worship, but men of human weakness and fleshly desires and mortal like all men. And they said, that we bring you good tidings that you should turn from these vain things unto a living God. The worship and the gods of that people were vain, but the God of Paul and Barnabas was the true God, the living and the life-giving God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, the creator of all things. Paul congratulates the Thessalonians because they turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God. 1 Thessalonians 1 in verse 9, turn in this verse embraces faith and every act of faith in becoming a Christian. Paul and Barnabas were devoted to the truth. It would not suffer it be perverted by their to their own advantage and honor. They preach Christ, not themselves. Men should not be worshipped today in any sense, neither should they be elated over much praise. They should lead others to Jesus, and not to themselves. In the generations gone by, God had suffered all the nations to walk in their own ways, because that, we read, in knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but were vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible men, and of birds, and of four-footed beast, and of creeping things, wherefore God gave them up." Romans 1, verses 21, and you could read on down, continuing this to verse 32. Compare this with Paul's speech in Athens, in Acts 17, 22 through 31. It was in Athens where Paul said, "Ye men of Athens, in all things I perceive that you're very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your faith, I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you, the God that made the world and all things therein. He, being the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he served by men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things, and he hath made one of every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. The times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that he had raised him from the dead." We'll continue next class.